Com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Becky Baylor.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
What the hell's that noise?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hey, there were three of you. The other guy.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling with your hosts, Tim Stein.
Anything goes wrong, I call abort, everybody walk away.
Heartbreak Mike.
Hey, I'm the flavor of the month.
The Omega.
An unreliable fellow is on call, constantly late.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Can we get a cappuccino machine in here?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
Boston area. Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have single earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to our review of WWE Payback, the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania, the first in the start of Roman's title reign.
The new era has begun, Omega.
The new era, yeah. Hammer that buzzword in a little bit harder, please.
Well, you know, this is the first post-pay-per-view show of our new era, so it works.
Oh, God. I haven't heard anything hammered that hard since Get the F Out.
Well, you know. It was right around this time, how many, what, 14 years ago that they were getting the F Out, right around this point, so.
God. Got beat by a panda, Rock.
I know, they got beat by a panda. Sad, sad times.
Mm-hmm.
But now they call it a genius idea by Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they're entertainment now.
Oh. We're here to debate that tonight.
Yes, we are.
I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? Heartbreak Mike, that's right, WTR's Oreo here with you tonight on WTR Sunday Night. We're doing the recap of WWE Payback. Yes, I'm excited. Maybe I'm lighter than coffee. God knows. These snickerdoodles are amazing.
He's doing my job. This is my stick.
He was trying... No, actually, he was trying to do Tim's job and being more radio guy. I mean, he's just coming in and stealing all the jobs.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I promise you, I'm not.
God, the black guy is just stealing all the jobs.
Let's not get carried away here.
Phrasing, Lana, phrasing!
And butting into the intro, as usual, the one and only Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we are going to be taking a look at WWE's latest pay-per-view offering, Payback. But first, I'm going to go into the back room and make an interview with somebody.
See, Mike, that's the radio voice. That's how you do it.
That was a bad Mauro Ranallo impression.
That was very... Yeah, it sort of morphed into Mauro Ranallo. I was not initially doing a bad Mauro. Let's face it, most of my impressions are intentionally bad. It just sort of like morphed, and I'm like, right in the middle of my doing it, I'm like, this is starting to sound like Mauro. Fuck it. Pour it on.
Just go with it. Let it flow. Let it happen.
Go with it. And all of a sudden, that's exactly what happened. Oh, my God. He went off the top rope.
Oh, dear God, help me.
Too late.
Oh,
are you?
Hmm?
Are you religious?
Yes. You know what? Yes, I am. But
I guess it's okay. Some people believe in Game of Thrones, too.
There you
Tim.
Go.
What? Now, did I say something wrong? I'm sorry.
Can we actually focus on the show?
Yes, we can.
By the way, you can interact with us live at wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet us at wildtalkradio. We can read your comments on the air. We want to know what you thought of WWE Payback, as we'll be giving you our thoughts on this almost 3.5 hour spectacular that it was tonight, because we had not one, but two matches on the pre-show tonight, Omega.
Which, unfortunately, I didn't get to see.
Okay.
Saw a little bit of the Ryback.
Mike, how many matches on the pre-show did you see?
None.
Batting 1,000. Tim!
I know what Tim saw on the pre-show, because he was like...
Exactly what Tim saw this afternoon. Tim saw his kid play 2 hockey games in one day.
Okay. So
I warned you that I wouldn't be available to watch most all of the pre-show.
I was figuring one of the other two would have picked up the slack, but apparently not.
Hey, you know, I saw the second half of the playback Callisto match, okay?
I know you did. I know you did. I saw that.
I was unconscious until about 7:50. I mean, I've had a very long weekend.
I know you have.
Oh my God.
I was watching AJ Styles clips.
You have no excuse then.
Yeah, you know they were going to have like new AJ Styles clips tonight, right?
Yeah, of course. I know that. I was just like, wait, who's fighting? Oh, it's WrestleMania again. Now I'm good.
You've got about 10 or 15 new AJ Styles highlight clips after tonight.
Yeah.
To quickly run down the kickoff that I saw.
Did you see the kickoff?
I did. I saw Dolph Ziggler beat Baron Corbin with a roll up after Corbin got cocky. He dominated most of the match, but ended up winning with the roll-up, did Ziggler. Not sure I like that booking, but since they came out first, you kind of knew the babyface was going over on that one.
I'm surprised. I thought that they would be thrusting Corbin out a little bit there.
Which means tomorrow night on Raw, Corbin wins.
It's his revenge. Yeah, there you go.
Everyone stay 50-50. No one get over. Everyone look even.
In what turned out to be a better match than WrestleMania's pre-show, Kalisto and Ryback for the U.S. title. As I told Tim as we were watching the show, Ryback sold for Kalisto.
Yeah, Ryback was actually what I saw. He was actually doing the job.
Which was what you needed, because the U.S. title hasn't been made important at all. I don't think Ryback has been on Raw since WrestleMania, so.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the one, the Raw before WrestleMania.
Yeah. So he appeared on SmackDown, he beat Kalisto to get this rematch, and they had a good match, better than WrestleMania. Selena Del Sol for the 3 count. There was a nice press slam from the Ryback, tossing Kalisto off the top rope. But yeah, go out your way if you haven't seen it. This one's actually worth going back to see. Unless they do it again on Raw, then don't worry about it.
Yeah, from what I saw, it wasn't a pay-per-view quality match, but it was a pre-show quality match for a pay-per-view.
It was a high-quality pre-show match.
I was just about to say, if that makes sense. Apparently, it made sense at least to you, Rock.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So this is where we need to get a little serious now, as we head into the main show. First, it started with the New Day.
Not good.
Yeah.
No, New Day coming out, that was great.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but yeah, I wound up drinking the Kool-Aid.
And, Xavier Woods wants to drink Beyonce's lemonade.
Ew.
Yeah, oh, that God. Just went the wrong way, right there.
Slide it into the DM.
PG.
What? It's PG. She's selling lemonade now. She is, on iTunes.
Allegedly.
On iTunes, you can go buy it.
Beyonce has her own lemonade. It's kind of like sort of Arnold Palmer has his own iced tea drink.
Then we took it to Enzo. I'm just going to keep moving on. Enzo and Cass took on the Vaughn villains. And one, before we get to the serious part, one, Enzo, when you drop the mic, it's after you're done talking. Not before you start talking. Just saying, that's how the deal goes. It's a mic drop after you're done making your statement.
Yeah, if you want lessons, just watch Obama.
Obama was good.
Enzo just a little erratic.
Yeah. And he has a poop emoji on his ass.
Oh, God.
I don't know if anyone caught that, but he did.
No, I wasn't actually looking at his ass, Rock.
Nope. Yep.
Why are you looking at Enzo's ass?
Because there's a big brown spot right there. It's clear you can see it. Then this is where things got really, really serious.
Not good.
Well, not just yet. We had a pre-match promo full of Hey Arnold references, which I thought was hysterical.
That term, yeah. Okay. But then we get serious. Enzo gets whipped into the ropes. hits his head on the second rope, smacks it on the canvas, and is out cold.
The guy was out cold before his shoulders even went under the ropes.
Yeah.
That was scary. Not one thing in his body moving on its own. Just completely limp and just crumbled out.
And the one thing that bothered me just the tiniest little bit, what's his name from the Vaudeville, is not realizing how bad it was coming over to smack him around while he's out cold.
Gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha.
It feels like that's what they were trying to, like that was what they were going to next. So, I don't think he had any reason to not think that what was going on was right.
Right, because
other than maybe the ref was a little bit too slow to warn him or to back him off.
Because I don't think the ref knew, because as you said, I think that was the spot. He was supposed to smack his head, but not in the way he did.
Well, here's the situation when something like that happens. Either it's a planned spot and then you go to the outside and you do a couple of moves outside, or it's not a planned spot and you improvise. So it could have been one or the other.
I really think that, what the hell was this? The legal one from the Vaudevillains.
Gotcha.
When that spot happened, I really think that he panicked. Even though he tried to keep a really good, professional face and whatnot, he panicked.
Well, here's how it went at ringside, because Kofi Kingston was live streaming on Facebook, and when...
Oh, yeah. As an aside, when you pointed that out to me, I actually tracked down the video and watched the video.
Right.
You're right. Shit got serious.
Yeah, they were joking around for the first minute as he was down. Go look at your partner, go help your partner, and,
Yeah, that got scary.
It got scary after a minute, and it's like, "Ooh, yeah. this is not part of the show. This is real." And there comes the axe, and it all went.
Yeah, all of a sudden you hear I think it was Xavier off to the side going, "Is he really hurt?" And then it's 4 minutes of just silence.
Yeah,
and you could tell that he forgot he was streaming.
Yeah,
that just went right,
because the video went all the way back to Gorilla.
Yep,
because he just took AT, put his phone down, and. Yeah, I think he forgot about it. It was
very, very scary. And when it happened, I couldn't help but wonder, from the angle we got, didn't really see the dreaded X go up. And I'm thinking, is this a work? Rock, is this a work or did he really get hurt? And right about the time that I typed that out to you, the announcers added to the confusion, because usually when an injury happens, they do not focus on it. They do not talk about it. They move on and do something else to distract the viewing audience.
Right.
Again, to the point where they were showing replays of it. Again, I think everyone thought that's just how the spot was supposed to go. And everyone just had to take a minute and go, oh, that went wrong. And eventually they actually do break down and they actually start treating it very seriously. And one of the big indicators is when the announcers talk about hospitals and not local medical centers.
Yep. So that, just a very, very scary thing. Everybody's sending out their hopes, their thoughts and their prayers to Enzo Amore. And so many people got distracted from the quick start of the second match because they were looking for information on Enzo. Is he okay? What's going on? What happened? And I'm one of those people that was scouring for reports on Enzo's condition. And as they were trickling in, I was relaying them to all of my Twitter followers. I got almost 1,000 of them. Which is probably just a mere fraction of what you have, Omega, but.
You could tell it was really, really serious, by the way, at Flames Forums for Tim's Twitter. You could just tell in Michael Cole's face, he was looking for movement. He was looking for a sign of life in Enzo the entire time. Because they cut away really fast to,
really fast.
To the announce table. And you just see Cole looking, and he's looking for some sort of sign.
Well, they were all watching what was going on, but yeah, Cole was just fixated. And after what happened with Jerry Lawler a couple years ago, I guess that was 4 years ago now, 3 years? The end of 2012, wasn't it?
September of 2012.
Yeah, the end of 2012, so 3.5 years ago. After what happened with Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole not being able to finish the broadcast, you can understand why he's so fixated on looking, you know, looking to make sure the guy, the guy's still alive.
And this is what happens when you read Twitter. Everyone's like, Bret Hart was in the building when Jerry Lawler had his accident, or incident rather. Is Bret Hart the curse? The internet was saying.
Yeah, that's, you know, see that. Really. Leave that until tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what, that's the internet for you.
So. But in case you have not heard, updates, and if you haven't, then I don't know where the hell you've been, but, Enzo was taken to, the local, medical facility, Reed Hospital, and, he underwent tests. He was awake, alert, talking, and moving his arms and legs. And it has, since been released that, he is, currently undergoing concussion protocol with concussion-like symptoms, he said, using air quotes.
No. They did announce he has a concussion.
Oh, yeah, no, who was it? WWE said that he has a concussion?
Yeah, Michael Cole did on the broadcast.
Yeah. But, at the same time, other outlets were saying concussion-like symptoms and they were using quotes.
Oh.
Right? Because that's just what you do. It's concussion-like symptoms when you have a concussion. It's still a concussion.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, hopes for a speedy recovery for Enzo, after, you know, after the situation tonight.
Yeah, there's nothing much else you can say about that. The match ended, no contest, so we do not know who is actually supposed to go over on in that one, and we'll find out tomorrow where that stands. It sucks, Omega.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, they've been the hottest thing on Raw, like, by far.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, that jump from NXT is one of the most well-received that we've ever seen. And, yeah, it's terrible to see it get interrupted like this. Now, luckily, it's... Okay, I'm gonna say this, and not to take it lightly, but just... a concussion.
Oh, yeah.
And I say just a concussion because a few inches, you know, if that rope hit him a few inches lower, that bent his neck.
Which I know I was very concerned about.
Yeah, but this is something that, depending on the severity, he could be down a couple weeks. He could be down, 2 months at the most?
What?
If they're being cautious, because Ziggler was back after 5.
I'm going to say
when
this.
He got concussed.
I'm going to say this. Daniel Bryan.
Don't do that.
No, I'm just saying it takes a while to... for them, for the recovery.
It's going to depend on the severity of the concussion. If it's a very light, mild concussion, the guy could be recovered in a week. If it's
Enzo's,
concussion, yeah, it's 2 to 6 months.
Enzo's also got a lot less built-up concussions from the indie scene.
Because he never worked the indies. My point for Daniel Bryan was it could take a long time. Is my point.
I don't think so. Like, Daniel's history with concussions, that's what took him so long. His brain was already bruised up pretty bad.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't expect him to be down this long, this being his first concussion. And at the very least, it's something he might be able to stay on TV with promos, because, you know, that's where he shines. You know, like, just hand him a mic, I will pay to watch.
Oh yeah, no doubt with that. But again, that's going to depend on the severity of the concussion. If he's suffering headaches, have you ever had a concussion, Omega?
No.
Okay, I've had a few of them in my life, and my kid Owen has had a lot more, only because at 16 years of age, he's like 6'3" now and still growing, and it's like he'd change sizes from week to week, and. Just because of that, all of the awkwardness, he'd be in gym class and accidentally trip on his feet and slam his head into the wall. Or he'd be running in daycare when he was younger and not realize that his legs were longer today than they were 2 days ago. And he'd trip on his feet and smash his head into the carpet. You know, so, yeah, at one point in time when he was 12, after gym class, smashing his head into the wall, it was so bad, the doctors ordered him to sit his ass on the couch and not do anything all summer long. And it wasn't that big of a smack. Of course, again, it goes back to what you were saying earlier. You know, if this is his first concussion, he might have a quicker recovery time. So,
only time will tell. That's something I can say. Only time will truly tell.
Well, yeah, this is true.
So we'll see what happens. Hopefully he recovers in time.
So, yeah, best wishes to a speedy recovery for Enzo Amore. Because, even if all he can do for the next month is cut promos against the Dudleys, shut up and take my money.
Anyway, so there you go. So moving on into the show, in the match no one really sort of paid attention to, even though I'm paying attention to it really closely now,
yeah,
is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And from the majority of what I saw, these two men went out to steal the show, and yeah, I
damn
think
they
did.
Didn't.
Damn that they didn't.
It's almost as if they spent their entire careers wrestling each other.
Right? What was your take, Mike, on this match?
To me, the match was solid and golden. And Kevin Owens, Frog Splash, FTW.
Tim is impressed that he can fly that high.
Let's not exactly use the words that I said when I said that, because it'll come across the wrong way completely, and yeah. I don't mean it that way. But Kevin Owens can fly. There's your paraphrase. I didn't say Kevin Owens. I said something else.
I didn't say it. You know, I didn't say what you said. I just said you were impressed that he can fly.
Yeah, no, I'm just impressed with his ability to, kid gets height when he jumps off the top rope.
Yeah, like from what I've seen, there are a lot of big guys that can fly, and it's just rare that you see them. But when you do see them, hey, fat boys can fly. I can say that because I'm a fat boy. Fat boys can fly.
Yeah, okay, there. Rock just kind of sort of, posted the quote. Thanks for saying that, Mike, so I don't have to take the heat for saying fat boy can fly.
It's fine, because, like, you've got Bill DeMott, moonsault. Need I say more?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think Kevin Owens is more impressive than Bill DeMott.
No, he is. He is, but it, what I'm saying was that's kind of like an example.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you.
No, your example is Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, Bam Bam could throw the moonsault.
Yeah, he could. That's the fat boy can fly.
And then just to like put the icing on the cake was the finish where he was like, hey, Byron, come here. First of all, he had to pick the black guy. I don't know why.
Hold on. We'll get to that. We'll get there. That's not the finish. That's aftermath.
That's the aftermath. Yeah.
We'll get to the aftermath.
Sorry.
Omega, thoughts on the match, or what you saw?
Yeah, like I said, did not see much because I spent the entire time just worried as hell about Enzo.
Right.
It was gold.
Yeah, I'm watching the replay now. I just saw the frog splash. God damn.
Impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
See, what's interesting about the frog splash comment, in the WWE 2K16, there's a running commentary line, I think it's from either JBL or probably Jerry Lawler, where they're impressed with Kevin Owens doing the moonsault. It's in the actual WWE 2K16. So it's like, I wasn't impressed with him until I saw him do that. And yeah, that's an impressive frog splash. This was a great match. Again, they have been fighting for years and they will continue to fight. There was moments where they were trash talking in the ring at the same time, just when they're trying to get up. And it was just great.
One wonderful thing about this feud, something happened, let's call it, so 15 minutes ahead of where we're talking right now, that guarantees that this feud is continuing, starting tomorrow night, going right through to, what is it, Extreme Rules? At least.
Tim, here's the thing. This feud will never die.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true, too.
I mean, they may split apart for a while. This is going to be one of those. This one's going to last forever. And
you know, at some point in time, they're going to reconcile long enough that they're going to wind up teaming up as a tag team, and then they're going to, like, you know, devolve into fighting each other again.
I compared it to Shawn Michaels, Triple H.
Yep.
This is the best way to compare it. But yeah, there were some nice spots, suplexes being thrown by both men in this matchup. It was just great. In the end, Zayn went for his kick, Owens with the super kick, pop-up powerbomb, your winner, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and can I just make one comment about Michael Cole?
Yes.
Please, Michael Cole, learn Zayn's moves.
Yeah.
How about that learn moves, period?
That was not a Blue Thunder Bomb.
No.
Learn Zayn's moves, period. Blue Thunder Bomb? Come on, man, what the hell?
And then he had to correct himself when he actually did the Blue Thunder Bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was it. The other one I was wrong. Exactly.
This is the real Blue Thunder Bomb. It's like, no, Cole, no. He does it all the time, too. It's like, learn the dude's moves. It's like one of his signature moves.
Yeah, but Omega's right. It's not just Sami Zayn's moves.
Not, if I had, If I had a dollar every time they confuse a German suplex and a belly to back.
Dear God.
See, it's because the spot just happened on TV, the Sami Zayn going for the DDT as he's walking the top rope, and Owens countering it into the backbreaker was a pretty awesome spot.
Oh, that was a hot spot.
Yeah, because that is one of his signature moves, and he's like, "Yep, I know this. I know your move. I'm just gonna counter it right there."
Well, there you go. Yeah, and that just shows, you know, like that's just wrestling psychology. Never mind ring psychology. Wrestling psychology. Owens showing that, hey, you know what? I've got you scouted out. I know how you think. I know what you do. I know what you're predictable. And that may not seem like a big deal. But when you want to keep continuity and believability and suspend that disbelief, which if you're a wrestling fan, you have to know how to do that, then you have to use wrestling psychology. And Kevin Owens is absolutely fantastic at being able to you know, it's old school the way he uses ring psychology.
Yeah, it is. And then Mike brought up, you know, after the aftermath of Kevin Owens picking on, well, Byron, and listen.
Stand right here. Right. This is my good side. Ask me about beating Sammy. Ask me about it. Ask me about beating Sammy now.
Kevin, do you think the rivalry is finally over between you and Sami Zayn?
That's not what I told you to ask, but fine. I did it. I beat Sami Zayn. You saw it! You all saw it! I beat him, and I finally put to rest the question that people have been asking about us for 14 years. I beat Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens is the better man! Ask me something else. You know what? No, I'm not done. Because now that I beat Sami Zayn and prove I'm the best, you know what I'm gonna do? I don't care what you think. Here's what I'm going to do. I can finally refocus and get back my Intercontinental Championship.
Kevin, that match is next. Do you think The Miz might retain his championship?
Oh, the match is next. That's wonderful. You know what? I don't care if Miz retains the championship. But on that note, you know what? Thank you for the invitation. Yes, I will do commentary for the next match with you, Byron.
All right.
Gold. Gold.
He did a good job filling the time needed to be filled because of what happened in the first match.
Mm-hmm.
It was brilliant.
I don't even think they were filling time. I think that was planned.
No,
it wasn't.
Impromptu and unscripted, and it came off so well that it looked like it belonged. Yeah. I'm telling you now, that was an off-the-cuff filler.
Okay. For you to decide, but he mentioned his Intercontinental match. Miz and Cesaro. Good match. Good match.
I enjoyed it, but of course it was Cesaro, so you know, the Swiss Superman.
Yeah.
Like, Omega, did you get hit with an uppercut? Because he threw a lot.
He threw a lot. Years of Mortal Kombat allowed me to dodge.
There you go.
Finish him.
But yeah, I'm happy with the match. You know, other than Miz continues to get pushed, I don't know why. Well, I know why, but I'm disgusted about why.
Kevin Owens on commentary for this match was awesome.
Kevin Owens was the best person at that goddamn announce table, except for the German announce table.
So Cesaro's throwing the uppercuts, and Kevin Owens like, I don't want to take it out again. I don't want I want none of the uppercut. What do you think, Michael's match?
It was. Miz was seriously trying to avoid these uppercuts. He was like, no, no, I don't want it. Cesaro was like, oh, okay, you about to get this work. Uppercut, bitch, that's what you got. You got an uppercut.
It was kind of fun when the crowd counting along with the uppercuts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're waiting for 10, and Cesaro stops and he looks around. You know what? Nah, let's just, like, throw him into the corner turnbuckle and do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, I'm actually happy to see him do the Swiss death uppercut. I actually am happy that WWE allowed that, that he could use that. And it's amazing.
There was a spot as they were going on. Owens is on commentary. And he calls the Miz Mike, which called took as Owens rooting for the Miz. And then Owens tells Byron, who was chiming in, to be quiet and to call his mom. I just started laughing at that line.
How many times did he tell, wait a minute, the only person he didn't tell to shut up was JBL?
Because I think he respects JBL because Kevin Owens was wearing his hat.
Sure was.
Grab JBL's cowboy hat.
He was rocking that cowboy hat, Omega. So, as Tim mentioned a while ago, 15 minutes later, the rivalry that won't die continued as Kevin Owens was jumped or attacked at the announce table by Sami Zayn, and they just started to fight again.
Yay!
To me, that was, like, so hilarious. Kevin Owens just started talking, and the next thing you know, here you see Sami Zayn, whee! And I'm just dying. Just him just beating the snot out of him, like, out of nowhere. He's like, wait, what the fuck? Oh, no! And so, it was really good. Afterwards, though.
So, they continue to fight. We have the Giants swing about 20 times across face. Owens and Zayn get back up on the apron. Miz is tapping out, with the distraction of Sammy and Owens on the apron. Cesaro knocks them both off. Miz with the roll-up. 1, 2, 3, Omega groans as the Miz retains the Intercontinental Championship.
He wasn't the only one.
Yeah, I was about to say, he ain't the only one groaning, motherfucker. Got you, Maurice, joining the cast of Total Divas.
Omega, find your moment of zen. Let it out. Just let it out.
My moment of zen?
Uh-huh.
Are we ending the Daily Show? What are we, what?
Just find the calmness in the fact that The Miz is your Intercontinental Champion.
I'm gonna go jerk off.
And flip.
There's no joy to take in this.
There isn't. I'm sorry.
Sacrifice the Intercontinental title picture for total fucking divas.
You know what's really ironic? Back when The Miz was winning the WWE title from John Cena, we were all in his corner. And I'm like, oh, this is good. Yes, Miz is getting pushed. Right on.
Miz was tolerable back then. Miz didn't spend 2 years being treated like a complete failure at that time. He went from losing matches after one move as a joke. He went from getting his ass kicked because Miz, you know, in every segment of Miz TV ever, because that's all Miz TV is for.
Mr. Reality TV.
To this. To Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
It's again, it's the 50-50 booking of WWE where no one's allowed to, you know, like, he spent so long just being average.
It just upsets me because, like, when I see this entrance, he's wearing his hat. When I see this entrance of The Miz, all I can think of is, like, why are you doing John Morrison? The red carpet and everything. I'm just like, come on, Miz. But I guess this is what happens when, hey, you lost the WWE Championship. We got to do some things for you. I hate it.
The actual
match. Why can't you just let us be happy?
Yeah, the actual match itself could have been worse.
The match was fine.
The match was fine. The guy could
probably put on a good match with Bastard Booger. He's good. Again, my heroes don't get to win. My heroes don't get the spotlight. No,
not fair.
We had one feel good moment at WrestleMania. Well, we don't get to keep it. You know, we got guys like Ambrose who are so in touch with the crowd. No, they don't get to advance.
Can we not?
Well, there does come a point in time where that fabled "you don't give the fans everything they want when they want it" kind of sort of bites you in the ass.
Well, I understand the business of wrestling is to keep fans coming back to see if they get what they want this time.
Yep.
But eventually you have to give them what they want.
Well, exactly. Eventually you get what you want as a fan.
We'll see. We got our one. That was WrestleMania.
Yeah, there you go. But when you keep denying that gratification for like 3 years when it should be over in a year and a half, at some point in time, your fan base is going to say, well, you know what? Fuck you and stop tuning in. And, this is what's been happening. Let's face it, WWE, the main roster, they're scrambling trying to figure out how are we going to fix this? Quite simple. Don't put the authority, you know, like Sterling's like the authority in charge for what, 4 years now? 5 years. He's just a little bit too long for before they get their comeuppance.
So with that, after the match, Cesaro attacked The Miz, Owens attacked Cesaro, Zayn got laid out with a pop of powerbomb, Owens went for the same thing on The Miz. Miz escapes thanks to Maurice.
Ugh, Maurice.
It appears, Tim, four-way coming?
With everything going on, yeah, I forgot one of the combatants when I initially suggested a three-way, but no, wait, no, I meant a four-way because there's like four of them.
You forgot about The Miz.
I forgot about somebody, and yeah, I'd like to forget about The Miz. but yeah, I just, Extreme Rules, I see it a fatal four-way.
I'd be okay with that.
I would not, I really wouldn't have a problem with it. We would get, Cesaro and Owens, Cesaro and Zayn, Zayn and Owens, and of course, less of The Miz.
So.
Which means less of Maurice.
There you go. Chris Jericho took on Dean Ambrose, Omega. Yeah. Or Tim, rather. I was going to Omega, but Tim wanted to chime in.
I just, yeah. I mean, like, sure, let Omega carry the ball on this one. I'm just like, you know, expressing my enthusiasm that you went to Omega.
Yeah. Cause you cut out for what you said. That's why I was like, what did Tim say?
Yeah.
There you go. Omega, thoughts on the match?
I was a fan of the match. I mean, this is another match. Like, the card, like, to be fair, the card tonight was really, really strong. So, it's hard not to be upset with some of these matches. It was a really good, it was a really good contest between the two. I would expect nothing less. Like, you know, Jericho's kind of like the WWE, like, gatekeeper right now, where if you want to prove yourself and actually get, you know, move higher on the card, you gotta go through him. Cause he is at that stage in his career where it's mostly giving to the new generation of talent.
Yeah, Jericho is now the rub.
Or as he likes to be on Twitter, the internet troll.
Yeah, that too.
Well, he's always done that.
Yeah. What did you think, Mike?
It was, to me, I mean, Jericho is basically the guy that, hey, you're feuding with me? Guess what? You're going to be number one contender. Win, lose, or draw, you're going to be number one contender. It was the match solid because, well, I mean, I think Tim, you can understand this. He can adapt to any style that you give him because he's worked with just about all of them.
He's Jericho.
It's
the world of what he does, man. What are you talking about?
He's Jericho. He can literally say, you want to do what style? All right, we can do that. Or he'll probably talk to you, probably talk in spots. Hey, what you got? Cool. You want to work that? Are you sure? Now, okay, cool. Or even if it's a new style, he's probably a quick learner at it. So it told a story that I can't say. It told a story.
We had a nice spot with the slingshot off the announce table over the barricade, which was different and unique because we thought, oh, he's going to do the Walls of Jericho spot on the table because, you know, moves on the table, submission moves on a table, the most devastating of all time.
At least to a quadricep.
At least to a quad. Yeah. Which I just rewatched because I've been going through the old Raws. I just saw that moment again. Yeah, that was a moment. But in the end, a missed lion saw and Dean struggled to hit the dirty deeds, but hit it. Ambrose beats Jericho. Jericho was not happy afterwards, Omega.
No, this was like, this was Christian level of temper tantrum after a match.
Yeah, it was.
leaving the ring like a pouting 5-year-old.
Yeah, he really, really was. But Ambrose gets the win, he gets the Ambrose Asylum. Is this the end of the battle between the two, or can we see another one in 3 weeks?
Well, you know, after asking Omega and then Mike what they thought about the match, you could always ask me.
So you mean the person who leads the show sort of forgets someone from time to time?
Now you know how easy it is to accidentally omit somebody, right? Right? I'm giving you an out here. Take it.
As we go to break now. What you think, Tim?
There you go. It was, you know what? These guys have another gear in them. They've got another level. This is not over. They've got another one in them at, what do you call it?
Extreme Rules.
Thank you! For some reason, Vengeance got stuck in my head, because he's out for vengeance. Or at least he will be. But yeah, no, these two, they got another gear. They have another gear. They got another level. They're gonna reach it. They held back tonight. I just felt that. It's like, oh, I want to do so much more, but no, we got to hold back for the next matchup. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to that one just because it's Jericho and Ambrose. Mm-hmm. And we all know that, yeah, right now Ambrose is my guy in the WWE. And I can't wait until finally he reaches that summit, of the mountaintop that he's currently climbing.
Right.
I'm so looking forward to that because by the time he gets there, he is going to be so over with wrestling fans that what we see now is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
But
we're talking almost Austin levels.
Do you agree?
Since height. I'm positive that's where Ambrose is heading.
Do you agree with that, Omega?
It's hard to say. Austin level, I think, is exaggerating.
I said almost.
Almost. But the difference is Austin rose in an era where they were more willing to listen to the fans. Mm. You know, and it's not just how popular he became and how well he connected. It's also the fact that they saw dollar signs with him. And
well, they went through three gimmicks with Austin's before they struck oil.
Well, true.
Yeah.
But they're hitting a lot of popular strides with him right now. Like, you really don't need to do much except turn up the volume on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a problem of, do they see any, you know, do you have a writing staff right now that sees more they could do with it? And that's the part where I doubt.
Just as a side note, that is so good to see that picture that you
yeah,
suggested.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Kevin Owens put it out on his Twitter.
Thank you, Kevin Owens, for tweeting that out. I'm just going to post that link to that in the chat room. That is so uplifting. I can't tell you right now. Enzo Amore in his hospital blues. Standing up and talking with Cass, and there's KO, and it's a selfie, and it's a selfie bomb. But instead of the people in the background bombing the selfie, it's Kevin Owens bombing his own selfie.
Oh, that's what you needed tonight, right there.
And oh, that just that.
I like how Big Cass put on a suit to come pick him up.
Yeah, that's kind of awesome. It's like he's on a date or something like that, the prom or whatever.
Well, let's just change of clothes, you know, what you gotta do.
There you go. So, you know, based on that, I don't think we're gonna be missing too much of Enzo on Raw, or even SmackDown.
Probably not. So, I say, Tim, we get a break, come back, finish out the show, all-time greatest. Remember, go vote, WrestleTalkRadio.com during the break.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Go ahead, Tim, talk. Hey.
You guys get to be included in the all-time greatest. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com, click on both active links, and vote for the all-time greatest current matchup for tonight. Your votes will be tallied, tabulated, and added to the vote tonight. You'll listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the TuneIn app on your mobile device. We'll be back right after this. And about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free.
What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stage.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ouch! That's hot. How does he do this without burning himself?
I don't know, but there's way too much smoke.
Yeah, there is.
Just do the line.
Oh, right. Right. We're here.
Every Thursday night, be a part of the experience known as The Rack. From all of the latest wrestling news, discussions, recaps of NXT and SmackDown, interviews with all of our favorite superstars, and more. Follow the Buzzards to The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. And, of course, if you don't have it yet, grab it. It's the TuneIn app, free download, free app for your mobile device. And that enables you to listen to anything going on live on the Wild Talk Radio Network anytime that anything is live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just search, amazingly enough, Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. If I could be serious for a minute.
Because it's time to talk about a Canadian?
Oh, wait a minute. Wrong Canadian.
By the way, Lance Storm won the Edge and Christian show. I don't know if anyone saw it. Very well done by Lance Storm.
Didn't see it.
He was Mr. PG. It fit him perfectly.
Good plans.
All right. Women's Championship is on the line. Charlotte taking on Natalya. Ric Flair in the corner of Charlotte, who... Rick had an interesting week. And then there was Brett the Hitman Hart, who got an amazing pop. What was that?
He didn't want to be there.
And you could see he shouldn't have been there either.
He was having a hard time walking to the ring because I think his defense were getting in the way.
Wow, Tim taking shots at Bret Hart. What, we are in a new era, Omega.
Surely it's not because he's been undergoing cancer treatment or anything. So let's not...
No.
No, yeah, so let's make fun of his silly walk.
Yeah, no, that wasn't me taking a shot at Brett. He's just pointing something out that I noticed.
Yeah, Brett should not have been there tonight.
No.
But, you know, it is what it is. As he said, he's there for Natty. He's there for Natty. So,
Brett could... Maybe they told him the plans, and that's when he said he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so this was a great match. Until the finish, which we'll get to, but these two girls, Tim.
Yes, thank you for pointing out the fact that I said to you right before WrestleMania 2 that I really wanted to see a feud between these two after WrestleMania
3. No, that was not the point. I was going to you first because I ignored you the last match.
So okay, well, still, my point is still valid. It's still valid. I did say I wanted to see an ongoing feud between these two, and I got what I wanted, and I got my wish. And God damn if these two, you know what? The next level that these two go to in they could main event a pay-per-view.
It's very obvious to me that Natty brings the best out of Charlotte.
Oh, hell yeah. And I don't think it's just Charlotte. I mean, put Natty in the ring with anybody and let her be Natty. She'll bring out the best in anybody and everybody she's up against. But there's just some kind of special chemistry between her and Charlotte. If I didn't know better, I'd swear that the two of them were best friends away from the ring. No way.
And it was Charlotte versus Natty that put Charlotte on the map back down in NXT.
Yes, it was.
What was your take on this match, Omega? Sans the finish.
Sans finish. I did enjoy the match. I mean, for a match between two second generation girls, you could tell they were both naturals in the ring. Natty's a veteran. Charlotte is, Charlotte's a freaking flair, so it came naturally, I guess. But yeah, they put on a great match. Like better than the showings they've had on TV, which is what I would expect out of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Sans finish, Mike. Thoughts on the match?
Really good. It was an amazing story. They really just, good technical chains, reversals. It was really good. Something that I've been wanting to see a lot of the women in the women's division now do in WWE. And I was really impressed.
And just when you felt like this match was about ready to kick into the next gear, welcome Chicago to Montreal.
Welcome. Now, you guys can all groan and get bitchy and complain about it. And that's perfectly fine. But you know that this had clearance from both Brett and Natty.
I don't care.
As well, hang on, as well as Rick and Charlotte. And I could just hear, I can just hear in the back of my mind what was said. Hey, Brett, what do you think? Don't you think this is really going to piss off the fans? Yeah, let's do it.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care if they got permission from... anyone. I don't care if they got permission from everyone involved. I don't care if they got permission from Sean. I don't care if they got permission from Vince. I don't care if they went to Earl fucking Hebner for permission. I don't care if they got permission from Montreal itself. Every single person in that arena. Leave it alone. Stop going back to it. Yes, it's a big moment. It's done. I would be thrilled to never hear the words Montreal Screwjob again.
Okay, did it piss you off that they redid the Montreal Screwjob?
In the way that it was supposed. I'm not pissed off playing along. I'm just fucking annoyed.
I mean, well, yeah, this is what I was. That was the second part of my question. Are you pissed off that they're bringing it back up?
It's not the good kind of pissed off. You don't need to get that kind. You don't need something that cheap and rehashed in order to actually create some. The Montreal Screwjob is probably the most recycled finish in pro wrestling history. Like, when you need a screwjob finish, you see it all the fucking time.
Yeah, let's fall back to this one, because, you know, it was such an effective piss-off.
But it's also one of the ugliest moments in wrestling, and it, when Shawn and Bret had the most awkward hug in history on Raw, that should have been it.
Uh-huh.
Done. Never bring it up again. This chapter is closed. Can we please move on? Apparently we cannot, because WWE hires complete total hacks for writers.
Well, you know, I hate to admit it, but as somebody who has booked, I can understand the appeal to creative to do this. The thing that I found ironic, did you all notice who was the referee for the match?
Lil Nate.
Yeah, they mentioned it.
Yeah, Lil Nate.
That was very obvious.
A little bit too much.
To me, the screw job going back to Montreal doesn't bother me. It was, this match didn't need it. You didn't need the screw job.
Yeah.
You didn't need to relive it. You didn't need to put Bret Hart, who could barely walk, in a position where he had to awkwardly do a sharpshooter afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need that moment. I know he did it for Natty. They did the double sharpshooter. It's a cool moment. Great.
Yeah.
But the idea is to build a women's wrestling division about the championship meaning something and about women's wrestling.
How would you have finished it so it was a screw job without being the Montreal screw job?
Do old-fashioned heel tactics. Hook the tights. Feet on the rope. Something. Or how about this? A clean finish. I know.
You could have had Rick trying to interfere in the match or pulling Natty out and Bret taking issue with it. And of course, they're not gonna let Bret and Rick get into a fist fight outside, because, you know, Rick bleeds if you stare at him too long, and Hart's got too many injuries. But you could have them fighting enough to cause the ref to get distracted, and, you know, and have some, you know, some cheap heel tactics for Charlotte to actually win. You know, good old-fashioned clubbing with the belt if you needed to.
Anything. If you wanted to get out of the finish, you can get out of it 100 different ways.
Mm-hmm. So the avenue was open. They just took the cheap and easy route that they knew was going to piss people off.
And I'm not pissed off the way they want me to be pissed off. I'm just disappointed.
You know, it's like Omega said. There's playing along pissed off, which we all, as wrestling fans, love to do when it works. And then there's, it's annoying now.
Just disappointed, because I was really getting into the match when the screw job happened. I was like, really? They just went there? I'm like, you want to see Natty fight out of the, you know, she was fighting out of the figure four. It's like, okay, Natty reverses it. Okay, now we're going to a sharpshooter spot. She'll counter it. Because Natty was great with the counters in this matchup.
Yeah.
She was on point. And it's like, I wanted 10 more minutes of them just wrestling, and it's...
Well, you know, that's what this entire match boiled down to. It was so good, we wanted more.
And that's my disappointment.
And therein lies a disappointment with... But, now, here's the silver lining. And, it just furthers my hopes, that I aired to you, Rock, back in March. This feud is far from done. Who said cage match? Omega, was that you?
Oh, thanks for blowing that for the listener, but okay.
Oh, sorry. What?
Looking at how this went, everything about this, like, if I didn't know better, screams cage match setup. Because you've got a champion who's known for getting outside interference to winner matches. Now you got a crooked referee that's playing favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, what's the stipulation that fixes both? Well, put them in a cage, you know, win by escape only, you know, and Natty and Charlotte are probably the two girls who could handle themselves in a cage match.
They really could. I have breaking news on the show because I just got the notification on my iPad from the general manager, and I quote, Enzo Amore has been released from the hospital.
Thanks. Thank you. They said that at the end of the pay-per-view.
What do you mean? That he was out of the hospital?
Yeah, they said he was released.
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that. Because we just saw the picture of him after. Okay. They just put it out on Twitter, that's all.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I already heard that. Like,
well, sorry, I didn't hear that. It came across my Twitter. Oh my. Anyway, back to where we were.
Yeah, you know, I could handle both these girls in a cage. That sounded so...
That was wrong.
Well, you know, we suspected it for a long time. Thanks for finally confirming that, Tim.
Caged women, yeah. No, I can handle a match between these two girls in a cage. There, that's a little bit better.
All right, so Cheryl goes either a cage or how about a submission match?
I don't know. I don't know about a submission match because there's still opportunity for interference and crap. And I think that that card has been overplayed.
Or how about the easy step? You can do a submission match and you know what you do? Bar Ric Flair from ringside. Be the easy way to do things.
Oh, that's the easy way, yes.
Exactly.
I don't know. I was actually really, I was really happy about this match because Natty was always that one girl in the midst of the Divas era that just did not fit in because she was such a pure wrestler. Like she, you know, amongst all these models that were trained, she came up in the dungeon. She has proper wrestling training before she even touched WWE. You know, and it was, she always felt underutilized because of it, because they wanted to push the girls with the biggest tits and the prettiest faces and whatever. You know, nothing against Natty. She's a gorgeous woman. You know. Sorry, Tyson. But this was a night to prove that she never belonged in the Divas division. She belonged in the women's division. Like in the era where everyone is hyped up because of, you know, the horsewomen coming from NXT and everyone wanting Bayley. You know, tonight she showed she could handle herself just fine, and that's in their ranks.
Mike, you've been quiet. What's your take on all this?
One thing, well, I'm a huge fan of Natalya. Ever since she debuted into WWE till now, and basically piggybacking everything that what Omega said, she fits in the women's division, not the Divas, the women's division. And for her, it's amazing because she's very athletic. She's beautiful. She's a woman, a female wrestler, a woman's competitor. In professional wrestling, not a diva, she can wrestle. And it's like, believe it or not, as much as it's probably true, she can out-wrestle just about all the quote-unquote divas. And to me, she's by far one of the four of my favorite female wrestlers in WWE.
There you go.
Yeah, you say that you became a fan of Natty since her WWE debut. I was fortunate enough to be as close to Natty to almost feel like she was at one point in time like a kid sister to me. Having, you know, watching her literally grow up and wrestle in Stampede Wrestling when I was working for them doing their DVDs and play-by-play commentary and such. She was the only girl wrestler. At that point in time, she was wrestling guys in Stampede Wrestling and kicking their ass. And she was doing it with a smile and a twirl every time. So, yeah.
So now, it's decision time. Who was in control of Monday Night Raw?
Why don't you get Vince McMahon down to the ring and let him tell you?
Vince McMahon trolling the Chicago crowd was the best thing on this show. He was orchestrating the crowd for the CM Punk chant. He was like, come on, do it. Burn yourselves out. Come on. He just trolled him for a minute. It was great.
Every now and then I forget that Vince has been listening to these audiences for so long. He knows how to work them exactly.
He really, really, really knows. So this boiled down to Vince McMahon wondering which one of his children should control the show. Is it Stephanie McMahon who brought in the likes of The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, all the same people. But, you know, adds another name to it. New Day, Charlotte, etc., etc. She even brought in the WWE Network. And then Shane McMahon, who has all the headlines, including Bleacher Report. And there's one line, you know, the on-screen boss of Monday Night Raw or something to that effect. It's like, I don't think you should have read the fact that it said on-screen boss.
Yeah, that's pushing kayfabe a little bit.
I would have picked a different headline.
And there's also an article that says Shane McMahon soars on Raw, which I'm pretty sure it meant the jump to the table.
Before WrestleMania.
Yeah, before he was in charge of anything.
Yeah, I pointed that out to Lindsay. I was like, that one's beforehand, but, you know.
Oh, look, you really are a businessman, aren't you, Shane?
It is what it is. So is it Mr. Positive Headlines or person who brought in all these great talent? Vince McMahon decides he wants to see blood.
Figuratively.
So do we, Vince.
Yep, he was speaking figuratively.
So does John Cena, apparently, as well. And Shane and Stephanie will both have equal control in running Monday Night Raw. The other great thing, before I get comments, was Shane McMahon doing the boo, yeah, spot. That
never gets old. I don't care what you say.
It's amazing. He gets so much joy out of it. It's great. So, Mike, 50-50 booking power now.
We'll see. We'll see how it is. I like it, but then I don't like it. Now it's kind of like, so what about SmackDown?
Don't worry about SmackDown. SmackDown's still under the same leadership. They're not doing what everyone thinks. The brand split.
There's not going to be a yet.
They did it.
Yeah.
It failed. It didn't fail, but it ran its course. Because I don't think they want you to devote the
resources. It got obsolete, especially when you've got, so you got all these shows that are really only running on half of the star power they have available because they forced the division.
Does that mean that we get to see the return of Teddy Long to SmackDown?
No.
Teddy's got a few too many years on him. I don't think he can handle the road schedule at this point.
We've been there, done that with Teddy Long.
I miss him. Where is Teddy in this new era of tag teams?
Smiling and collecting his tag team money.
It's tag team royalties. It was my idea, player.
So, that would be a sweet Legends deal. It's like, I don't want $10,000 a year to use my name and, you know, have DVDs where I'm on screen. Just give me like $10 every time someone says tag team.
He'd be rich.
You'd have a lot of $10.
$10. Yeah, it's too late, Mike. You joined the show. You knew it coming in.
Deal with it, new guy.
Main event time. WWE Championship, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles. And you know, it's the fun thing to boo Roman Reigns, right? Right? That's the fun thing.
Oh, they gave up with the mics, with the crowd mics. They just gave up with the crowd mics.
No, that's, no, Tim, that's the quote now. It's the fun thing to boo Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I know. I was just like moving on.
AJ Styles, though, huge pop.
Massive. And here's the thing. He's not getting a huge, massive pop because he's facing Roman Reigns.
No, he's just getting it because he's AJ Styles.
Yeah. He's that phenomenal.
So, to me, it's just me, Roman looked a little off in this match. I don't know if it was selling, because he got good at selling overnight, or he may have tweaked his left leg a little bit.
To tell you the truth, I think that he was given a couple of quick lessons in selling.
I hope so. But he still looked a little off tonight, though.
So,
we'll see. But one of the better spots in the match, the phenomenal forearm off the top rope to the outside through the announce table.
Oh, damn. That was such an incredible move. And it looked even better in slow-mo.
And then Omega, the first one, AJ Styles tries to get Roman in. Can't. AJ Styles win via countout. But don't you worry. Shane O'Mac's here to correct it. He restarts the match, and it is no countouts. We then had a 450 attempt, get the knees up, and then eventually, the most devastating move in the history of wrestling, the punch to the balls for the disqualification.
we can't let the pay-per-view end on a DQ because he got knocked on the nards. Can we?
No, because Miss Stephanie McMahon comes out and says her brother forgot something. Not just no countouts, no DQ. There must be a winner.
God.
Go ahead.
This was annoying. This was annoying. Just to give them excuse to power posture a little bit before Monday night.
Uh-huh.
No, because this is the point where I expected, like, okay, 11 o'clock hits and they call a time limit draw. Vince comes out and says, no time limit, restart. Then Gallows and Anderson interfere. And then Trips comes out and says, no, bring down a cage, restart the match. And the ref calls a stop when AJ bleeds. And then Triple H's oldest daughter comes out and says, I want blood, you're all fired. Restart the match.
Shut up, you had me at cage.
Well, Tim, we know you like the cage. Just
how many layers of Dusty can we put on this?
Oh my god.
About seven layers of Dusty. So, we fight in the crowd. Rowan stayed away from the fans, cause, you know, they don't like him. So, we have a Superman punch. The spear is looming. You can all feel it. And then Anderson and Gallows show up. They lay out Roman Reigns. Then AJ Styles struggles to get up. Roman's struggling. You wonder what's going to happen here. Get the forearm. A two count as Rowan barely gets his foot on the rope. The Usos come out to even out the numbers. AJ gets shoved off the top rope onto the entire pile. Then Rowan goes, I'm feeling good. We're gonna dive over the top rope onto everyone but AJ Styles, who comes off the barricade with the phenomenal forearm. We have the springboard 450 for a two count. And then AJ drops Rowan on the top rope. Here it comes, the other forearm. No, spear, 1, 2, 3, Omega, Roman Reigns, still WWE Champion. Thoughts?
To the shock of nobody. Though I will give them credit, they worked the match well enough. There were a few spots in there where I thought, are they actually going? Oh.
They may, they no. might. Are they? Are they gonna do it? Are they gonna do it, Mike? Are they gonna do it?
I will admit. The Dusty finishes, the false finishes got on my nerves after the second one.
It was just first the forearm, then the 450. The springboard 450. Mm-hmm. And you still kick out at two? So all I can think of is, so what's going to happen when you face John Cena?
Go ahead, Omega.
I think that was the frustrating part, where that was such a spot for ending the match, and still did not end the match. I don't know. Like, I was annoyed by the false finishes, but at the same time, I was properly entertained by the match. Like, I was actually drawn into some of the false finishes. There was just instances where I thought, are they? Are they really? Of course not. But they made me believe it a few times, which is the point.
And Tim, for a crowd who was not very much into Roman Reigns and very into AJ Styles, they sort of gave the crowd the best of both worlds, giving AJ little chances and sort of wins in this one.
If what we saw in the ring was your girlfriend and the crowd was the boyfriend would be suffering horribly right now because the girlfriend was such a goddamn tease. Figure out that analogy.
Okay.
You don't get it, do you?
Explain it, Tim.
I didn't think you got it. Mike, do you understand what I just said?
Yes and no.
Okay, what do you understand? What don't you understand?
It's probably the whole thing. I don't understand.
Okay, the entire crowd is suffering from a really bad case of blue balls right now.
You could have just said that, Tim.
he could have just agreed with me that they're taking too long to give the fans what they want.
Well, okay. Well, then here's a question, and I think, which I can't believe I'm actually going to be complimenting Roman Reigns.
Oh.
Forgive me, Omega. You can hang me later.
Can you not invite me to lynch you? Please.
Please. Pause. Party foul. But to me, it was like, is it bad that AJ Styles made Roman look good?
It's not bad. It's what he needs to do.
No, it's an amazing thing.
It's exactly what Roman Reigns needed.
But yet he still got the booze.
That's not going to go away anytime soon. Here's the thing. Like Roman or hate him, be happy he's champion or be pissed off that he's the guy they're pushing. Tonight's main event was a damn good match, albeit false finishes from hell at one point. Yeah, a little too much. But every single match tonight had a little too much of one thing. Didn't make the matches bad. Overall, Reigns versus Styles delivered and then some, and I'm like, yeah, this is really good. I'm digging this. Even though it's Roman Reigns in the ring, I'm digging this match. I wasn't yelling at my TV. I wasn't sitting on the edge of my seat or anything like that, but I was entertained.
And I think that's what, I think that's what it was all about. We were entertained.
And circling all the way back to the intro, 16 years ago, we got, or 14 years ago, we got the F out and put the E for entertainment. They delivered entertainment in this finish.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And, again, it's not going to all of a sudden make people stop booing Roman tomorrow.
That wasn't the idea.
Hey, that was not the idea.
No.
No, I think they've given up.
They're just going to let him be whatever you want him to be.
You know, just let him be the guy. Now, he's not the good guy. He's not the bad guy, but he is the guy. And if they play their cards right, they can make that gimmick work for him. Not to the extent where he's going to be accepted as champion.
Mm-hmm.
He still has to go through the Rocky Maivia thing. And it still has to happen for him to become accepted again by the fans. I mean, he was absolutely loved, admired, and adored until he had to have his abdominal surgery. He came back to a good reception, but after the good reception, everything was lukewarm, and then he got the push, which got buggered up big time because of Daniel Bryan. I'm not shitting on Daniel Bryan. I'm just stating a fact. Daniel Bryan was the bigger fan favorite who got screwed over, finally, legitimately, and that pissed off the fans enough that they turned on Roman.
Yeah, it's not for the sake of being Roman Reigns. It's for the sake of not being Daniel Bryan.
Right. Yep. And go ahead.
It didn't help that in that time we were starting to get to know the personality of Roman Reigns, which was, how can I phrase this? Boring. Boring. That's the word. You know, Hacksaw Jim Duggan made a 2x4 more interesting.
Yes.
And basically what Roman needs to do is, you know, if he wants to be, you know, someone in the middle, he has to believe in himself. And I think that's where we are at now. He's trying to believe in who he actually is. And I think he's struggling with it a little bit.
Well, right now, keeping Roman off the mic is the smartest thing going.
Yep, tomorrow he'll probably be on the mic.
Oh God, please don't say that.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing that's troubling me is they're gonna go right straight to that goddamn microphone. Forget the microphone. If he just came out and started leveling people, it's not a heel turn. It's a, you know what, screw you, I'm the one with the belt, and so there.
I think it's like that Samoan pride.
So.
And until Roman believes in him, the fans won't believe in him. He's got to believe in himself so we can buy into him. We'll see where it goes.
And having him not go through the crowd anymore, partly for his own safety.
Smart.
it's a sad thing to say, but it's true, you know. But, you know, if you don't look at that part, but if you look at it, he's coming through, you know, it's like Edge and Christian did it. They initially came out through the crowd, and then they started, you know, winning titles and shit like that. And it's like, oh, well, you know, and their egos kicked in, and they came out through, you know, they came out through the stage.
And the five-second pose was then born.
For the benefit of those with flash photography.
And in 3 weeks, it will be Extreme Rules, AJ Styles, Roman Reigns 2 for the WWE Championship.
Did you say 3 weeks? 3 friggin' weeks.
Yep.
Wow.
Why wow?
Because it's only 3 weeks.
Well, the timing of it is because the following weekend is Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, no, I get that. You know, and in Canada we've got what we call the May 2-4 weekend, which is Victoria Day.
Right.
Which is, that's the Commonwealth thing where the Commonwealth countries get to celebrate the birthday of Queen Victoria.
So that's why it's 3 weeks, and, well, they'd rather have put 4 weeks in between WrestleMania to 3 weeks. So there you go. So that's the show in a nutshell. Graded, Omega.
That's actually tough because the matches are actually really good.
Right.
Like, everyone performed really well. If this really is like new generation WWE thing, it's off to a really good start. It's just the part where the one thing that really hasn't changed is the people writing this backstage. So we still have some of the same issues. But for what it is, I'm giving the show a B. Endings aside, everything was really on point tonight.
All right, Mike, what would you grade this show?
I give it a B. Everything was solid. Everything was good. Stories were told.
Stay away from the piano.
Yeah. It just kind of sucks for, you know, Enzo, but it'll come. It'll come. So I give it a B.
Tim, what is your grade on the show? Apparently it's a D.
What?
Be in the chat room.
Okay. Here, you know, yeah, okay. I may have a reputation for sometimes being critical about pay-per-views from an
from a
very objective standpoint. And no, I was not creaming my jeans.
I thought we let that gimmick die in the old era. This is a new era, Tim. Remember? New era.
Well, here's the thing. I was entertained. It was very fun pay-per-view, despite the one scary moment and a couple of lapses. And yeah, I played devil's advocate with the Montreal Screwjob finish. But I'm never a fan of seeing that used as, an easy out. Like Omega said, let it go. It's just, you know, past annoying at this point in time.
Right.
That was a drag down. I mean, I did get a kick out of the fact that it was Little Nate as the referee. But that was the only kick out of the whole, you know, the whole setup for the goddamn thing. The bright side means that this feud is far from over and it's going to continue for at least another month, which, you know, I'm really happy. Roman Reigns was made to actually look good tonight. That's not an easy accomplishment, or at least it doesn't seem like it has been an easily accomplished feat since they started pushing him to the moon. This pay-per-view for me tonight borderlines between a B+ and an A-.
There you have it. Quickly, WTR payback pick'em results. Aaron Frost comes in dead last with Rob at 2-5. Nick Diddy.
Way to be Aaron Frost.
Nick Diddy went 3-2. Mikal went 3-3. Sheila went 3-4. So did Chris Pierce. And Tim, so did WWE 2K16.
WWE 2K16 Sim, yeah. You know what? Are you going to be doing that for every pay-per-view now?
Yeah, I did it for Mania. I did it for this. Yeah, that seems to be the idea until I get tired of it. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, and are you playing one player, or are you just having the computer versus the computer?
The sim is the computer versus computer. I also did a playthrough. Both are now available at youtube.com/radioshow. We're clicking the videos link on wildtalkradio.com, so that'll be a thing.
There you go. Yeah, good, because I like seeing that.
Lindsay went 3-4. Heartbreak Mike went 4-1, coming in 10th. Subway was 4-3. Tommy, Starscream Josh, DP, Lone Jabber, the 8-Ball, myself and Tim went 5-2, and then there was the Omega, who once again leading the pack at 6-1.
It's been a good day.
There you go. I'm not complaining. Now, pre-show included, how many matches total were there tonight?
There were 8 total. So
one collectively got thrown out because of Enzo's unfortunate injury.
Which is why there are 7.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
Technically, I got that one right as a result. Just...
So the winning listener is? Who has no...
Starscream Josh was the... And Tommy were the winning listeners. Unless you... Yeah, because you don't count Lone Jobber. I guess count DP because he's his caller. So DP, Starscream Josh, and Tommy were the listeners with 5-2.
They were all tied. It was... Is Tommy C? Is he the guy?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, I know. He knows too. He got in touch. He's in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
So there you go. We'll be back in 2 weeks on the show previewing Extreme Rules. And because it's in 3 weeks, so it'll be next time for Bragging Rights here for WTR Pick'em. And now quickly, it's time to do the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest. Stop us now!
First one up for the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment, Bret Hart refuses to release Jerry Lawler from the sharpshooter in 1993, where Alberto Del Rio cashes in on CM Punk in 2011. Mike, we'll go with you first.
Jeez. I would have to go with Alberto Del Rio cashing in on Punk.
Omega?
I will admit, I only vaguely remember Hart in 93, and I've been too busy this weekend to do my usual lookups through the network. That's it. Yeah, I would give it to Del Rio.
Tim,
back in 1993, I vaguely remember Bret Hart.
Okay, that'd be Alzheimer's kicking in.
That would be the only way that that phrase would be uttered from my lips and be even close to true. Yeah. That entire Bret Hart refusing to release a sharpshooter, that made. Who did he have that on, guys?
Jerry the King Lawler.
And he wouldn't let it go? What happened with that?
You tell us, Tim.
Decision got reversed. Jerry got bragging rights, and a few more things in that feud led to a couple of really, kind of hard feelings between the two in real life.
I said, yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did. And it bled through. And it just even made for, because back then, they were taking, what was going on behind the scenes and turning, you know, that's when they started turning it into storyline. Alberto Del Rio cashing in, good for you. It's Bret Hart. That's the one that stands up for the ages.
Because the Bret Hart, Jerry Lawler feud then led to the, I think it was what, the King's Court versus the Hearts in 93 at the Survivor Series. And then all the way into 94 with the Kiss My Foot match.
Yep, exactly.
But the listeners vote 71% Alberto Del Rio cashes in. So Alberto Del Rio...
Jesus Christ.
So Alberto Del Rio cashing in.
It was Chicago tonight because that one mentions Punk.
Speaking of, screwjobs. Anyway, Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels in 2005 versus Randy Orton cashing in on Daniel Bryan in 2013. Omega. Make sure you exaggerate your thoughts here.
Yeah. Are we picking the best comedy moment of all time, or?
Sell it. Yeah, sell this.
Sell this.
Come on. Do it. Sell it. Sell hard.
You know what? Orton cashing in on Bryan, it's just a cash-in. We've seen plenty of them. We just talked about one. It's not that big of a deal anymore in the grand spectrum of things. But HBK versus Hogan, Battle of the Ages, Clash of the Titans, and Shawn Michaels proving that ragdoll physics exists in real world. This is one of the most hilarious ways of trolling someone you don't like in a match ever. Like, I prefer this so much to just the usual stiffing your opponent during a match.
Uh-huh.
This was just bell to bell, just making fun of, I have to sell this guy's offense.
Yeah. Yeah, he
when he's 2 decades out of his prime. God, it was hilarious. Maybe not the most professional of moments, but yeah, I was far more entertained by that.
Mike?
No selling. Hogan and Shawn Michaels.
Though there was a lot of selling. It was just over-exaggerated selling on that one. Tim?
Like wrestling in a bouncy castle.
wouldn't that be fun, though?
Oh, look who we got in the WWE right now. Do you think Dean Ambrose wouldn't do a bouncy castle match?
Remember when Crush Holly did? they did the ball pit. The ball pit.
Yeah, the ball pit. The ball pit's old. The bouncy castle. That's where it's at now.
Yeah, that's where we're at now. All right, Tim.
Well, Randy Orton cashing in on Daniel Bryan in 2013 was so memorable, I barely remember it. However, Hulk Hogan. And the look on his face when he finally realized that Shawn Michaels was like, you know, fuck this.
He was being Shawn. Old Shawn.
Shawn was being like, I got a job to this goddamn, you know, that Hogan said, I'm not losing to anybody. Mm-hmm. Creative control bullshit. And Michael says, okay, you want to win? Fine. Watch. There's a certain thing in professional wrestling that's kind of like an unwritten bit of etiquette that you just don't do. Shawn Michaels did it, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Overselling.
Oh my God, that was, oh, if this was just some kind of little indie show that you went to, downtown on a Friday night, you know that there'd be a back alley beatdown at the end of the show, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about, boy.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
But I was never so entertained, and not in a good way. But in a meme, like, you didn't really, Sean, come on, no way. Yeah, so it's Shawn Michaels dropping to Hogan. So, oh shit, yeah.
Again, 71% went with Hogan versus Shawn Michaels in the WrestleTalkRadio.com poll. Next week on the All-Time Greatest, we'll have Hulk Hogan confronting Zeus in 1989 against Barry Horowitz beating Skip in 1995.
Oh, God.
And the Big Boss Man sends the Mountie to jail in 91 versus Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect in the same year.
Oh, shit.
Good Lord.
That's next week in the All-Time Greatest.
All-time no-brainer.
Now it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
I will start with Tim. Tim, would you rather be salt or pepper? And I'm not talking about the group.
It's a good thing.
Talking about the spices.
Yes. I would rather be pepper.
Why would you rather be pepper?
Because people with high blood pressure need less salt. But you can never go wrong with pepper.
Mike, would you rather be salt or pepper? And I'm talking about the group. Which one? No. The actual spice.
Alright, I'd be salt.
Why would you be salt?
Add spice to me. People's foods.
Omega, would you rather be salt or pepper?
Pepper.
Why would you be pepper?
Because I get to make cartoon characters sneeze. I have simple requirements in life.
Yes. Yes, you do. Tim, would you rather be ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup!
Why would you be ketchup?
Well, the bad joke would be always because I'm just a little behind. But more people use ketchup on more things, so ketchup would be more popular.
Mike, would you rather be ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup.
Why?
Because I'd be picked by the cool kids.
All right, get away from the commercials.
And Omega, which would you rather be?
Mustard.
Of course, you have to be different. Why?
I would be too tempted to eat myself if I was ketchup.
Wait.
And clip.
I'm not going to touch that one. We'll just leave that one alone. God. That'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah, that's another Sunday Night in the Bucks. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Those of you who may be new, because I was spamming a couple of chat boards all night long. If this is your first time listening, thanks for tuning in and thanks for sticking with us. Every Sunday night we do Russell Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night. Our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, will be reverting back to that time next Sunday night. Please tune in. Have a lot of fun with us because we just yap about wrestling and we're uncensored as a son of a bitch and we're more than open to your opinions. All the time, of course. That being said, join us tomorrow night for the Rob Bo Show.
Yes, join us for the Raw post show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk all things Monday Night Raw.
And, of course, Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern time, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with the multi-award-winning Lindsay Ward and her rack.
Coming off her birthday, it's another edition of The Rack, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go listen to last week's episode where we talked to Evan Michael Lee of Camp WWE. He played the voice of the kid, Mark Henry. So check out that interview now at Wild Talk Radio and RockRadioShow.com. But this Thursday night, we'll talk NXT. We will talk WWE Payback, the Blame Brents, and more. It is The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, at Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, RockRadioShow.com. Get the show on iTunes and Google Play. Search Rock Radio Show. And follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward. And subscribe YouTube.com/Rock Radio Show for all the video content we talked about earlier.
Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it. It's the weird, it's the wild, it's the wacky, it's the unusual. It's the prank phone calls once in a blue moon. It's different. It's CB Radio.
It is CB Radio. We do things. We talk about things. We give the hockey update because there's no other show on here.
You remember that one night that you guys called every single Kentucky Fried Chicken across the country just to ask them how big their breasts were?
Did we? I think we did once. Probably did.
That was just after you brought the show to the network.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We were creative back then.
Yeah, it was my idea.
I know. we should have you come on this week to do it. There you go. We have the plan. Tim is going to prank call Kentucky Fried Chickens on the West Coast this Saturday night, midnight-ish on CB Radio. Go back and listen to last week's episode where we talked about Rob's birthday because, you know, it was the birthday celebration. You can't refuse. Go check it out. CBRadioLive.com, Facebook.com/CBRadioLive, Twitter.com/CBRadioLive. When a celebrity dies, hashtag blame Rob. I can get this all spit out. Yeah, so there you go. Check it out. CB Radio Midnight is Saturday nights.
Yeah, and of course, like I said, next Sunday night at our regular time, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain Time, WTR, Sunday night. Follow me on the Twitter machines, not once but twice. Hey, my main Twitter is at Flames Forums. My other Twitter is at Man Kitchen TV. Follow both of those. Find me on the Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com. Facebook.com.
See, it's not that easy. It's not that easy to spit out all the plugs.
There you go. Facebook.com/menchefs. And then hook up with me on Facebook. I've got it set up like it's an actual, you know. So you can friend me on Facebook at menchefs. Absolutely.
At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And make sure you join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network.
I was.
I know I got there first.
But you just like sort of walked all over me because, well, you know, you're an egotist. Anyway, Mike's on Twitter.
Damn straight.
That's right. I'm on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to the WTR Oreo. That is my Twitter. yes, I'm going to do a couple more things on the Twitter.
Play the piano.
And then play the piano.
It's not the piano. It's not the piano.
What is it?
I think that's my Facebook notifications. But it's yes. But guys, go ahead, add me, the WTR Oreo, and yeah, I'll follow back.
There you go. Hey, Omega's all over. Omega owns the internet.
Own is a strong word.
He is 95% of the internet.
There you go.
I was going to amend it. Just say
I have a majority share.
He has a majority share because someone owns one thing he really, really wants.
Oh, don't even start because it'll just piss him off again.
But yeah, pretty much everything I do can be found under the same name. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. If you want to follow me on Facebook, it's TJ Reviews. If you want to see everything I do, it is TJ Omega over on YouTube, where there is new content every single weekday. And then for all the exclusive stuff that YouTube does not like, it's over at tjomega.org.
Why does YouTube not like some stuff you do?
Copyrights.
Yeah. Which we're going to get a little bit better at, but yeah, still it's a bitch.
It really is a bitch because I put up the video for the Sim stuff. They decided to go and, you know, knock it down because, oh my god, I showed the little man walking out for the Enzo Amore intro from the video game.
Aye.
True story. Thank you, YouTube.
Yeah, they're just getting a little bit too vicious with their potential lawsuit bullshit. Goddamn DMCA.
But anyway, make sure you follow Omega because he does awesome things, and go watch his stuff because he does a lot of it. And if you want to see him do more of it, tell him your ideas because he'll do anything you want.
within reason.
Like he'll buy a T-Rex for his room.
No.
He's going to kill me now. Say goodbye, Tim.
Goodbye, Tim.